make that statement. That gives us a defeatist attitude going into the idea that we can withstand Satan. If we say to ourselves that Satan knows me, he can get around my defenses. They got to think, does Satan really know us? And so I started looking through the scriptures. We're told so many times in the New Testament to withstand the devil. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 27, do not give opportunity or do not give place to the devil. Paul tells us we can stand up to him. It's our choice. It's our choice if we give in to Satan or not. And Paul just simply says in a very short verse, do not give him the opportunity. It's your choice. You can do that. The book of James. Turn over to James chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. James tells us, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, James very plainly and concisely says, resist the devil. You stand up to him. If you stand up to him, James tells us he will flee from us. If we draw closer to God, God will draw close to us. We can't do it on our own. That's what James is reminding us. We can't do it on our own, but we can with God. With God on our side, we can do anything. And so James very precisely tells us, you resist the devil, and he will flee. And Peter tells us also over in 1 Peter chapter 5. He reminds us of who the devil is, who our opposition is. Verses 8 and 9, he says, you be sober, you be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Peter reminds us the devil is a very serious, a very difficult adversary. He's an adversary that won't quit. It's not just one and done. He will continue to come after us. And Peter reminds us, you be sober and you be watchful, because he walks about like a roaring lion seeking us. And he reminds us again, you resist him. Be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so Peter also reminds us, when Satan attacks us, we're not alone. We're not in this all by ourselves. We're not somebody that's special, been set aside. The devil has attacked others, and others have made it through. And again, he just very simply says for us to resist him and be steadfast in the faith. And so we ask, how can we do this? How is it possible? Well, for one thing, we need to realize and remember that God is on our side. God has made promises to us. A passage we looked at this morning, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. This is probably a passage that we need to all just copy down and post it on the refrigerator. All of us go to the refrigerator several times throughout the day. Yeah. It'd be something for us to keep before us all the time and remind us God has given us what we need to withstand the devil. We'll just begin there in verse 10 of chapter 6. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yeah. The devil's a very real opponent. He's a very active opponent. And says he's very clever. He's very wily. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So again, Paul reminds us, if you put this armor on, we can withstand. Yeah. It's just the picture of a Roman soldier as you go through this picture here. We've all seen the posters or signs of a Roman soldier. And he's got the big heavy breastplate on. He's got the big shield in front of him. He's got his big sword there beside him. He's got the helmet on. He's got his feet shod and protected. He's protected against the darts and the arrows of the enemy. And Paul paints that same picture as Satan attacking us. And he says, if you put this armor on, you will be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. In verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And as we said this morning, this book that we have in our laps this evening, this is our defense. This is what we need to attack the devil. If this is a part of us and in us, the devil has no chance against us. And these authors here in these books that we just read, they've all promised that if we'll call on this word and stand behind this word, we can resist the devil. Verse 18, I'd like for us to just maybe make a passing comment there. We usually stop at 17 and say that's the end of the armor. But number 18 is very important as part of that armor. It's a very important part. Praying. That's when we appeal to God. That's where God comes into the picture. We can put on the armor and we can stand there. But if we don't call on God as our defender, we won't withstand. So if you don't ever remember anything else but about this lesson, then this one point, remember this. The devil only has as much power as we allow him to have. Yeah. When we stop and think about the devil, we think of somebody that's just so overwhelming and overpowering and so powerful and mighty that we just can't do it. We just can't do it. As David's been going through the Old Testament with us in the Bible classes, those are stories in the Old Testament. They're not just stories to fill space. They're stories to give us hope. Think of David and Goliath. Israel was scared to death of Goliath. Why were they scared to death of him? He was big. He was huge. I'm a small man, and you walk up to somebody at 6'6", you're looking up at him. He's a big man. David, as a young man, looked higher than 6 foot. He looked way up there at Goliath. All of Israel was scared to death. But David said, with God, I can do it. And that's what Paul's reminding us here. With God, we can withstand the devil. Nothing is bigger and stronger and mightier than God. And so we can withstand the devil. He's no more powerful than we allow him to be. The devil does not know us personally. He thinks he does, but he does not know us personally. We've been studying the book of Job for some time. I thought Job was a very good example of that. Turn over to Job chapter 1. If you're a student of the Old Testament, you remember the story of Job. Remember the conversation that God and the devil had. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? God knew what kind of man Job was. Now, God is someone that does know us. God knows us inside and out. God knows our heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows why we did what we did. But the devil does not know us. He does not know who we are. Look in the first chapter of Job in verse 9. When the Lord, well, let's go back to verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? He's a blameless and upright man. He fears God and he shuns evil. Again, just a side comment. Think about that. The God of heaven, Jehovah God, our creator, to sit there and have that confidence about you and to call you blameless, that's a pretty high compliment, isn't it? God knowed Job, and he asked Satan, have you considered him? Verse 9 tells us exactly what Satan thought. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased the land. But now, you stretch out your hand and touch him, and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The devil thought he knew Job, didn't he? The devil, as he's talking to God, he says the only reason that Job is faithful to you is because of what you've given him. Satan was confident that you take it away from him and he'll curse you. He'll turn on you. Is that what happened? Satan told God, you take everything that he has, and he'll curse at you. But the Lord said, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hand on his person. So what God is, he's giving him a challenge. You think you know Job? Then you take what he has. What did Satan do? He took everything that he had. He took everything from this man. In the rest of the chapter, as servants were coming to the house of Job to explain to him what has happened, before that one finishes telling him, another servant steps up and says, this happened. Job lost all that he had, all that he had worked for all of his life. He even lost his children. He lost everything. And it wasn't just this week this happened and next week this happened and next month that happened. It all happened in the same day. It all happened at the same time. And as one messenger come to the house to say this happened, Job, another messenger showed up and said this happened. Just one on top of the other. How do we react sometimes when multiple things happen? We go out to go to work and we got two flat tires. We come back in the house, the water heater sprung a leak and it's just spewing water all over the place. Just one thing after another. We feel pretty bad, don't we? Imagine what Job would have felt like. He lost everything. Did Satan know Job? Verse 20 tells us, after all this happened, then Job arose. He tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the last verse of that chapter says, in all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God with wrong. Satan couldn't have been more wrong, could he? He said, I know if you take everything away from him, Job will turn on you. But it had the opposite effect on him. He lost everything, and he turned to God, and he worshiped God. And he realized that all that he had came from God. And it was God's to take if he wanted it. And said, in all this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God with wrong. Satan does not know us. Over in chapter 2 and verse 10, Job's wife even turned against him. Said, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. So even his wife turned on him, the last one that he had left, the last person he felt like he could lean on, she turned against him. She advised him, you go ahead and curse God and die and get rid of all this. Save yourself from all this punishment. And Job just very simply told her, is it right for us to accept good from God and not accept when things don't go so well? So again, Satan does not know us. Satan did not know Job, and Job's a good example. And then we think that, you know, Satan's really got us down. Remember Job. So back to the original question, what does Satan know about us? What does he know about us? He knows that when we're tempted, that we're human, that we can fall. Back to the passage that was read for us this afternoon. Thank Alvin for reading that. Turn over to the book of James again. And notice what James tells us about temptation and sin. Beginning of verse 12 again, said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Just as with Job, Satan told God, you take what he's got. But James reminds us, those things don't come from God, those bad things that happen to us. God doesn't work through that avenue. These things come from Satan, and we need to give Satan the credit for doing that to us. He says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. James reminds us that it's our responsibility. When we give in to those things, it's us that gives in to it. You know, those of us that are kind of gray around the edges probably remember a show called The Laugh-In back years ago. Remember the comedian Flip Wilson? His famous little saying there, the devil made me do it. Did he? Did the devil make it?